B-Pod Studios.
Coming up next at 10, sports talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now with this attempt from 58 from the right hash mark. The snap back, the placement by Long. Nice. The kick is blocked. Scoop, it's blocked. Score. It's bouncing in the open field. It's picked up by the Patriots. And running down the sideline is Devin McCourty to the five, to the end zone. Devin McCourty off the block field goal attempt. Picking it up and running it in for a touchdown, Patriots.
Special teams, touchdown, and there's a party in the end zone.
The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. Watch us on twitch.tv. You can subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can get the Sports Hub app at any of your app stores. Listen to us live. Listen to the podcast. Jim McBride covers the Patriots for the Boston Globe. He's the only beat writer in Los Angeles, California. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. McBride, hello, sir.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone?
We are well. How is California?
Well, I certainly don't have as many complaints as our buddy Martin from London, but to me, he sounded just like the principal from the Porky's movie. Did anyone else get that vibe?
My friend, that you come out of Porky's and go, I remember the principal says something. See, if it ain't the lady that violently pulls on the man's penis, that's where my references end when it comes to Porky's. One of the movie that cannot be made today, I don't think.
No.
Is it weird, though, out there right now? I mean, with everything going on?
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Even at the game, there was very few people in the press box at all. There was no press box announcements. It was kind of like a ghost town. But, you know, the big story out here last night and this morning was that all the restaurants and businesses are pushing back against the lockdown out here. So it's interesting. But, still 70 degrees, I can't really complain.
That stadium's pretty insane, though, isn't it? I mean, obviously, you're not seeing it with all the bells and whistles and with all the people, but, I mean, just from what it looked like on TV, that place looks nuts.
It's unbelievable. It's like a city block, the complex itself. It's right next to the old Forum, you know, where the Celtics and Lakers played for years. But, it's a very impressive stadium. I thought AT&T in Dallas was the most impressive I had ever seen, but this place takes it up even a notch.
Oh, beautiful Inglewood, California. Yeah, God bless. Is Inglewood still a dump?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Inglewood, when they moved the Staples Center downtown and then they built downtown around it, that was all right.
It's a similar feel to Houston, where they built that beautiful stadium right next to the Astrodome, and the Astrodome is just kind of sitting there. That's the way the Forum is in this neighborhood. It's just kind of sitting there next to this gigantic complex.
You get to see the planes land, yeah.
Well, listen, at least Slater is very excited. Our friend Matthew Slater,
he's
very
pumped
excited.
About the library. Very excited about the library.
I don't know if you asked him about it, but someone asked him about being back at his old stomping grounds where he matriculated as a student. And he was very excited. The old library and the changes that has gone through.
Yeah, not surprising to hear Matthew say that. I mean, he's a pretty studious guy.
He's a nerd.
I'm not going there. But, he's been enjoying his week. You know, he obviously can't see his family and things like that, but really likes being on campus. And he's been taking a lot of, ball busting from his teammates about looking for the statue of Matthew Slater, nice week for him.
Oh, there'll be one soon as he enters the Hall of Fame as the guy that ran down the field during punts. All right, what do you see of this affecting the team being out on the West Coast? We talked to Aqib Talib at 8, and he thought that given the COVID situation this year with no training camp or all that limited time the team has had together, that this might be a good thing, actually, for them.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're pretty much locked down at that hotel, which is on the campus at UCLA. It's an absolutely beautiful hotel, but they can't go out other than to walk around campus or practices and team meetings. But you know, I'm sure they're with each other a lot more than they would be at, you know, in Foxborough where they're going home at the end of the day. So it's always been a good chance to bond these trips. You know, a couple of years ago they went to and stayed at the Air Force Academy in between games in Denver and Mexico City, and that was a trip where a lot of guys pointed to, you know, that they had bonded on that trip too. So I think it works well. You know, this team is trending in the right direction, and this can only help these younger players that have really, you know, gotten into the rotation, especially on defense, and really helped out. You think about the top three picks, you know, Duggar, Uche, and Jennings, and they've really had an impact on this defense the last couple of weeks. And, you know, being able to be kind of sequestered out here, you know, just gives them more of an opportunity to be with their teammates and really study film. And, you know, I think that it bodes well. It certainly does.
Overall, Jim, are you buying all of this path talk that has dominated sports talk radio? There's a path to the division championship. There's a path to the playoffs. Basically, what it requires is the Patriots playing perfect football over these last four games, which I don't think is possible. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm buying that the path is there. And it's certainly, you know, if the Patriots win out, that's, you know, there's really no room for error. I know some people have talked about they could even drop Thursday's game because it's against an NFC opponent. I think they really need to go 4-0 down the stretch. And then, you know, this possibility's opened up. That means they would have beaten the Dolphins again and they'd have the tiebreaker over them. They already have the tiebreaker over the Ravens and the Raiders. So, you know, there's definitely a path, but you have to win out. It's 99.9%. You have to win out, and then you can start talking about it. But if, you know, if they drop a game, I don't see it happening unless, you know, the theory that games get pushed back and there's an extra week and they add another playoff team, then, you know, then that opens up more possibilities. But I think the NFL is hell bent on getting these games in on time.
There's no doubt about that. They're playing these games short of an unmitigated disaster.
I mean, they pulled Des Bryant off the field last night and still played that game.
Yeah, I talked about that.
I mean, they're playing these games.
My God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you saw last night, it's like they're not even trying to hide the fact that they're jamming these in. It's like, all right, well, I know he was with the team all day.
Hugging people on the field. I mean, come on.
The Fox guys were saying, you know, we're not sure, you know, what's going to happen. Well, you damn well know what's going to happen.
And the thing is, no one cares. I mean, like, who cares? Like, yeah, you play. Who cares? Go play. I mean, there's no brushback. There's nothing you have to worry about.
Well,
just go play.
The big thing, Fred, for me was that if I'm the Raiders, I'm pissed because there was that, you know, we talked about the offensive line. Didn't only one guy have it, but they kept everybody else out?
All five starters.
Yeah,
yes.
All five starters. I'd just be pissed because, too. You know, they were contact tracing. And I mean, oh my God, Des Bryant. It should have been the same situation. So if you're the Raiders, although they've kind of effed up everything anyway, so I guess they really don't have
anyone
to
blame. But if you're the Raiders and you're mad, if I'm the NFL, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to see the contract tracing after Des Bryant was positive. I mean, did they just pull the Ravens and say, anyone who feels good, raise your hand? And they all raised their hand and said, okay, we're good. Get out there.
Yeah, who wants to make money today? Yeah. Like, who would like to make money today? Well, I would. We're here. I got my pads on.
That's right.
Okay.
We all showed up, you know.
Yeah, and the thing is, why wouldn't you if you're the NFL? You got what's going to happen to you? Nothing. No one cares. I mean, what do I care? Go play. Do what you got to do. All right, but back to the page. Okay, go ahead.
I just want to ask about the Rams because I don't even know, like Goff is such Jekyll and Hyde. I don't know whether he's – one week he looks great, one week he looks awful, and the Rams have kind of been a strange dichotomy as well. You know, Sean McVay seems like one of those guys that, you know, when he faces Bill Belichick, he, you know, tends to – I guess be in awe of the moment, so there's probably a high tendency for him to crap himself. But I don't know.
The main thing is this, is that the Rams have a great defense, statistically at least, and the Patriots are one-dimensional, completely one-dimensional offensively. And they have the best defensive player in the league, which has been neutralized before by Belichick. But if you're the Rams going into this game and you know the Patriots cannot throw, what is the plan?
Yeah, they're just going to have to dominate up front like they have been. You know, rewatching that Super Bowl from 2 years ago and watching the way that David Andrews and Joe Tooney worked those combination blocks on Aaron Donald was amazing. I mean, they made him a non-factor. Even on that last drive when the Rams knew the Patriots were going to run the ball and try to run out the clock, they had, you know, back-to-back long runs from Burkhead and Sony Michel, and they just pushed Aaron Donald around. Now, I know that was the fourth quarter, and he was probably tied at that point, but I would suspect a similar game plan from the Patriots, you know, as far as, you know, combating him. But, you know, every team in the NFL likes to start fast. Of course, that's a formula for success. But I think the Rams really need that. I mean, they're watching them this year. If they start fast and get into a rhythm on offense, they're really tough to stop. But if they struggle out of the gates, it seems you can almost read the body language of Jared Goff that he's, you know, that he kind of he mails it in for the rest of the day. So I think they need to dominate early, and that's kind of the key this week.
Yeah, and the Patriots can't get down because there's no way they can come back.
Well, seven maybe, but anything more than that, no.
Well, I mean, you can technically
they're not a team made to come from behind this year.
Well, the forward pass is usually required.
It's a problem, right, for this team.
To come from behind.
Yeah.
Say the Patriots did make the playoffs. You saw Pittsburgh lose to Washington and, you know, Kansas City. You've seen what they've done.
They struggled last week.
And they struggled a little bit last week. Just in terms of the AFC in general, do you see anyone unbeatable in this situation? Or do you think this is a low seed could go in and make some noise?
Yeah, I definitely think a low seed could go in and make the noise, especially if it's the Patriots. I mean, if the Patriots make the playoffs, it will mean they had won their last four, and that would mean eight of their last nine. And, you know, I don't know that anyone wants to face a Patriots team that's won eight of their last nine and you know, and is coming in as the underdog. So I don't think there's, you know, I thought Pittsburgh had flaws. They, you know, they're still a really good team, but, you know, they can't run the ball. And if you're going into the playoffs, you know, as a high seed and you can't run the ball, then you're not going to stay around very long.
All right, there you go, Patriot fans. All you have to do is win four in a row, hope some other teams struggle, and then get in, and it's yours.
It's all yours.
My friends. Jim McBride, enjoy your time in Los Angeles. Thanks for getting up.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
All right, we appreciate it. Even though, you know, you're from the East Coast, so it's no big shakes. I mean, your body's telling you to get up.
I think that this is, like, the first year. I mean, and obviously it's probably because of everything that's going on, but I used to think that, you know, Thursday night football was too much football, like make us miss it. I've loved having Tuesday night football. I've loved having doubleheaders on Mondays. Thursday night football is fantastic. I've had no problem with the excess of football that they've thrown out there. And what's weird is that I guess Fox, like the CFO yesterday, dropped a hint that they might drop Thursday night football. So there might end up being – now, I don't know whether that's – I mean, that's obviously – the NFL wants to continue with it. So, you know, get ready for some sort of bidding war. How funny would it be if it went streaming exclusive? And how many heads would explode if they end up doing it that way? Know that some place like Amazon might just – I mean, they've got more money than all these networks. They can step up and go
– Bezos has no money. How dare you?
So, I mean, you could – I mean, you saw what HBO Max just did to get all of those movies. I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility – that Amazon Prime or someplace like that, or, you know, what's the other one that does the Hulu or something, ends up just throwing billions of dollars at them and says, we want Thursday night football.
And it would have to be enough money for the NFL to go, all right, I mean, obviously, but they would have to probably bid a lot more than anyone else.
Oh, there's no question. And it's astounding how much money these streaming companies spend. Sure. You know, Netflix. I mean, they just throw around money like it's nothing.
I'm not positive like a Netflix or a Hulu could do it, but I'm certainly
Bezos
Amazon could.
Bezos.
I mean, Amazon could do it if they wanted to.
HBO just spent – I don't – actually, the amount of money they spent has not been released. But if you just took a look at, you know, what each of those movies were expected to make and then put it like 60% of that – I bet they spent $6 or $7 billion to get that slate.
Whatever they were dealing with, a desperate industry, and the NFL will never be that, at least not in our lifetime. So Bezos got to pony up, because HBO and anything resembling normalcy never pulls that off. But you know, the NFL is still making money, and so they're going to have to. Listen, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility. We'll all probably be streaming at some point.
Someone told me, someone saying on Twitter that I guess Amazon Prime already streams Thursday Night Football, but I'm talking exclusive rights.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, then someone can tell you that they don't stream, and then you can just have that fact, that wrong fact, pulled right into your face. We will be back in just a matter of seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
The NBA is collapsing all around us, and I absolutely love it. This is my favorite part of the year, where you have players who don't want to be on teams, who are just being dicks and doing everything they can to get kicked off their team, yet feigning that they're still team players. And what's going on with James Harden right now is just fantastic theater, because after being missing for 3 days and not even connecting with anybody within the Rockets organization, he finally shows up yesterday just in time to take a COVID test. Now, we've been talking about how, you know, he started off hanging out with a little baby out there in Atlanta, and once again, videos of that everywhere. And then you saw him over in Las Vegas hanging out at Dre's and doing his party thing, and then he shows back up, and now there is this report that comes out that the team he wants to go to is the 76ers.
Little Baby's favorite team.
Is that Little Baby's favorite? I'm not even
I'm
sure.
I'm only speculating. I'm just speculating. It must be.
Well, I mean, but how could he watch it? He's just a baby. He can't control the remote or anything like that. He's got little fingers, and his brain hasn't matured yet.
I mean, anytime you put on Trading Places or the Tom Hanks movie Philadelphia, he calms down. So you can tell he loves Philadelphia.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Little baby.
I mean, you can't get the Zwieback out of his hand. You know, it's very hard, very tough. He loves that toast.
Don't give him a pacifier. No. It's going to make him weird when he's an adult.
Do not do that. So he wants to be with the 76ers, which, if you're obviously Daryl Morey, who's just, you know, was brought there. I know he worked with, what's his name, with Harden at the Rockets as the GM there.
Yeah.
And then you brought in Doc Rivers, who just dealt with two of the biggest divas in the league right now, if you believe the report that came out about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. You know, Kawhi Leonard wanted his own chill room before every game, much to the chagrin of the female staffers who didn't have a place to change or have their own private space. Space to keep their stuff. You're telling me that Doc Rivers and those guys are going to say, you know what? I think it's a good idea to bring this guy in here, because all he is about winning, apparently. So now this is where all of a sudden things start to, like, the slight negotiation begins, because now it's not just the Sixers, it's any team that's in contention. And of course, yesterday I saw it all over the place. What about the Celtics, man? Oh. Why don't you bring him to the Celtics? God. I can't think. Well, first of all, it may work, and here's why. Here's why I think so. Danny Ainge obviously hires some very smart people around him, and I'm sure he's got some of the best people in analytics all around him. Remember that chart that we talked about where James Harden, the worse he plays, is coincides with how great the strip clubs are in each city?
Sure. Outside of Toronto, which is was his number one performing place, which has fantastic strip clubs, but I digress.
Is there a city that he would thrive more in than Boston, Massachusetts?
He would love to be here. Yeah. He would love it so much. Finally, the destination he's been longing for his entire career. Coming into the warm embrace of Boston. Oh, he would be so happy. Give up everything for him. So he comes in here. Because if you told me, oh, yeah, he wanted to play, then I go, yeah, give up whoever and go get him. He's a top five player in the NBA. Go get him. Mm-hmm. But the idea that you would trade for him and that he would come here and he would like it is, oh, we'll make him like it. He'll like the crowd. No, he won't. He won't like anything about it. But
Fred, look at analytics. He's going to come here. He's going to realize that there's like one strip club in the city of Boston. He's not going to want to go up to Hampton Beach, you know, and Rhode Island, where, you know, apparently it's a pants off dance off at all times.
Well, they're closing down. I mean, the pandemic has not been kind to the shoe shows.
Got to do it outdoors, apparently, which is obviously strange. But, I mean, if Danny was smart, he'd look at the analytics. But the other thing that, you know, everyone is thinking is more than likely going to, or at least there's got to be behind the scenes some sort of coup.
Apparently, James Stewart yesterday tweeted out, "Bring me James Harden.
No.
I love him.
His head on a platter.
No, thank you.
Bring him to me. Well, I'll make him. Hey, James, just let's go have dinner." So you like wrestling? No. Damn it. This can be a long dinner.
But you've got to be praying that somehow they have it so he ends up in Brooklyn. And I don't know how you make that work if you're the Rockets. I mean, what does Brooklyn have that they want outside of their two big stars?
They have a lot of good, you know, role players.
You can't sell that to the Rockets.
You can't.
They don't have enough. But if that happened, they've already got a mess of stuff going on up there right now with Kyrie Irving. And I don't know if you heard this. So, do you remember at the beginning of, I think it was last year, where Kyrie Irving at Media Day was saying that finally he gets to play with a guy who can close out games?
I know where you're going with this. Yes,
okay.
I did. I saw this.
Yes. All right, this is great. So LeBron James was asked about that. I mean, listen, I crap on LeBron James just because, you know, of him being a tool. But, I mean, the guy's unbelievable. Here's what LeBron James had to say about Kyrie Irving when he found out that Kyrie had made that comment.
So when I heard the comment that Kyrie made, I wanted to, one, not only find the whole transcript, but also call my people.
Yeah.
Send me the whole transcript. And I heard he had did it on Katie's podcast. And I was a little like, damn.
Yeah.
Once I got the whole transcript, I was like, damn. You know, I wasn't like, oh, you tripping, I'm hit game-winning shots whole life. I was not like that. I was like, damn, because you were there for a couple seasons. I mean, I played with Kyrie for 3 seasons. The whole time while I was there, I only wanted to see him be an MVP of our league. I only cared about his success. And it just didn't align. Yeah. It just didn't align. And we was able to win a championship.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing. We were still able to win a championship, and we could never align, but I only cared about his well-being, both on and off the floor. And it kind of hurt me a little bit.
By the way, isn't that BS? Because didn't LeBron try to get him off the team? Wasn't there some sort of like coup?
Yes, there was an Eric Bledsoe deal on the table. He wanted to trade him to Phoenix for Eric when Bledsoe was in Phoenix. Yes.
So they're all garbage in that situation. Like both of them. Kyrie should have never said that, and he shouldn't have been disingenuous about, oh, how he was my best buddy and I loved him. Dude, you tried to get him off the team after a while. So, and he did that too when he left. Oh, I tried to give him the keys to the kingdom. All right, dude. Sure, fine. And by the way, as much as I hate Kyrie Irving, LeBron James has an extra ring because of Kyrie Irving and the way he performed in that finals when he was in Cleveland. So they both suck. I think that James Harden deserves Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. And if there's any way they can make that happen, fantastic. But I just love the fact that it sounds like right now they're just sitting there saying, suck it, James Harden. You're going to have to hang out and figure this all out for yourself.
Tim, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I can't wait to see James Harden eat some Kowloon Saga swings and go to the cabaret after game. Thanks.
Hey, man. One trip into the loon. This is all yours, James. You can pick two pieces of memorabilia if you sign. Bruno Sammartino. This is the place of the mat. Where he flipped from baby face to cad.
Do yourself a favor, Fred.
Kay.
Tristan Thompson apparently about 3 days ago tweeted, hey, moving to Boston, need some good places to eat. I just want you to scroll through and find out how many members of our radio station tweeted him the Kowloon.
I mean, these nobodies get free food from someone one time and then... Hey.
Dude, Andy Wong's birthday was the other day. Oh. I've never had a timeline fill faster than on Andy Wong's birthday.
And Andy Wong is the, and I'll say, because my days are behind me, at least until my kids are older and I actually have free time. These people in Boston just never got it. You go, oh, they mentioned the Calhoun. They mentioned the Calhoun. The Calhoun doesn't spend more than $5 a year advertising on this radio station. Do you know how the Calhoun gets mentioned so many times? Because Andy Wong is nice and gives these guys free food. And they just talk about their lives. And their lives are going to the Calhoun. No one in Boston seems to get this. And you know, the Calhoun's not close to anybody except for Jim Murray. It's far away from everyone. And all these guys go to the Calhoun, go to the Calhoun, go to the Calhoun. No one else gets it. I mean, in Atlanta, they all got it. All right, okay. You know, people in radio don't make any money. You're nice to them. They're not famous. You're nice to them. You're nice to people in radio. They love you so much. Oh, is Andy Wong loved? I mean, he really is. Because locally, can you think of another restaurant owner, like, put him in order. Like, the guy who owns Strega is real famous.
Andy Wong, Steve DiFilippo.
Yeah.
And then, but the guy who does Strega, he's famous because he does a ton of commercials.
Wherever, he's famous.
Yeah, yeah, like, everyone knows. Nick Verano.
Right. Nick Verano. So those are the three that I think of.
Oh, Legal Seafood's guy. Yeah, him too.
I don't even know who that is, though. Like, I'm talking about, yeah. And I know there's, like, fancy restaurants and things like that, but I'm talking about, like, just, like, names that you know.
And Roger Berkowitz, yeah, yeah. I mean, people know his name.
I don't know his name. But Andy Wong, there's no business being known like this. He owns one Chinese restaurant. And the guy's an ultra-celebrity.
On 98.5 Sports Hub.
Well, but that, I mean, listen, how many people know Calhoun and it's part of the vernacular? I've never been to Calhoun in my entire life.
I can't believe you have. I mean, you got to go. I mean, you do have to go.
All right. Well, the next day I have 5 hours to get to Saugus. So I'll make it happen. I mean, Saugus couldn't be further away from me or more inconvenient to get to. It's just very difficult to get to. If my son ever has a game out by Saugus, who knows where the basketball games will be. Any gym that'll have them, I guess. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old stackaroo?
Michael Jordan is a genius. Bert and Ernie hate the F out of each other. And what is the best Tom Cruise movie of all time?
Maybe it could be like Rucker Park, and Andy Wong could open up the parking lot to just ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it could be like Rucker Park in New York. It could be like the best pickup games
hold
in the
a big
world.
Tournament. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring everyone in and Chinese food for everyone when you're done.
Yeah. The Andy Wong Invitational.
I like it.
Yes. Hey, it was Sarge here at the Andy Wong Invitational. Hey, I'm scouting K. Lipshut. I mean, you'd get the whole crew. I mean, everybody in a position of power would be there.
Right, the Calhoun Crushers, I love it. Yeah. They should battle. They should come up with a team and battle all the other Saugus establishments. Like next we're doing Prince Pizza. You got Prince Pizza Boys.
Everyone's
there.
Just all fat and like drunk.
Yeah. Here comes the Cade's Donuts That's crew. It's Carl's Sausage Kitchen. I thought they'd gone away.
A bunch of 60-year-olds who have reminisced about the Hilltop. They got a team.
And Andy Wong just has a cigar and like a team full of ringers.
A bunch of old ladies with Karen haircuts. Oh, no, it's the Christmas Tree Shops ladies. They're going to take us down. They're dunking.
The Christmas Tree Shop is everywhere. There's one of those in Natick.
They got more lines than you know what to do with.
Oh, I went to the Christmas Tree Shop a couple weekends ago because we had nothing to do.
Man, I just love how everything's organized there. Yeah. Like, everything's where it's supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, very convenient.
And I'll tell you, the people in there are really, really clean. I got to tell you. When you go in there, you just are like, this is who I want to be around.
The best thing about
the people shopping at the Christmas Tree Shop, it's just filth.
That's
a story that goes, get me out of here. I thought I'd go in and it would be like all Christmassy, and they go, no, it's not like that
it's
at all.
World.
It's building 19 is what it is for Christmas.
Yeah. No, John, here's what it is. If you were to get trapped in, like, let's say the apocalypse happened and you were trapped inside of any store, that's the one you'd die earliest because there's literally nothing in there that you can use for anything.
Well,
nothing of it.
I don't know.
There's literally nothing that helps you survive.
Give me a 12x12 Jesus sign and I'm all right. I'll just hold that thing up. This is like, I love cheese. Come on, guys. Look at this sign I bought. I'm super into it.
Walkfather's team would be like the Saugus Monstars. It's true. I mean, the Hilltop guys are gone, but maybe much like Uncle Drew, you bring back the old-timers, and you got Frank Jafrida and his boys. They show up and show you how it's done.
No, all I'm saying is that Calhoun, I mean, Andy Wong got it right. And there's nothing nefarious going on. It's just when people hang out somewhere, and especially when you get a collection of like that hang out there, that collection of freaks, You got yourself a time. I mean, anytime you can get Sarge, Jay Stu, Murray, Joe Murray, and you know, every other guy in there at one table.
Marshall Hook.
I mean, it's fascinating.
Liv Schatz is part of the crew.
Oh yeah.
Liv Schatz loves it.
Fred, Jay Stu lives probably half an hour west of you.
Yep. Yeah.
He lives half an hour west of me.
Okay.
He still goes.
I take the Wongcopter. Landed on the effing roof. Miss Elizabeth's daughter puts down a carpet for me to walk on.
Nice.
Miss Elizabeth's daughter.
Quick to the Wongcopter.
Guys, seriously. We only got 2 minutes to get on K. K, 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 K. Hey. I got a source. To the copter. Wings. Wrestling.
Tuck sauce.
Fun. Wrestlers. Fun.
Comedy shows taking place.
Come to the gun show. Break a pack of cards. Have some fun.
All right, we'll be right back.
Wrestling.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, for Touch Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Oh, yeah. It's the stack, baby. And John is the man who has got the in to the foe.
The Stack is sponsored by Window Nation.
Yeah.
It's their buy two, get two free sale, Fred.
Yeah.
No down payment.
Woo.
No payments.
Yeah.
And 0% financing for 12 full months. You can check them out at windownation.com.
Yeah, check them out, baby.
Okay, I know some of his songs stink, and I know, Fred, you're not a fan of a lot of his songs, but, man, I can't help but not like Post Malone's all right. There's a story that came out yesterday. You've got all of these different musicians and all of these athletes who do these partnerships with Gucci and these really high-dollar brands.
McDonald's.
Travis Scott with McDonald's was kind of cool. I thought that was brilliant.
And the guy that speaks Spanish that I've never heard of but is apparently worth $5 billion.
I saw that too, and I saw it and I immediately went, you know what? I am not going to knock this because I guarantee you he's massive and
we
I just don't
it.
Know about
I,
it.
I don't knock it.
It's no, not knock it. I just, yeah, but whereas not? Everyone's tying themselves with these high-dollar liquor companies, Post Malone just said, I'm going to introduce a new brand of Crocs.
Mm-hmm.
Crocs, the foam little sneaker things that people wear that
kids wear to basketball as of not to scuff up their b-ball shoes.
Yeah, you're either 7 or you're 70 if you wear Crocs, but Post Malone said, let's just do it. I enjoy wearing Crocs, and why not release my own shoes? And
kids wear Crocs. And I'll tell you this is what I've noticed, and you'll be proud of this, Rich, is that when my son plays basketball, he looks like the poor kid. because he doesn't care what kind of shoes he wears, nor does he care about what adorns his body.
It's all about the game, Fred.
So he'll have a shirt on that says, like, basketball's great. And then, like, dirty-ass, like, Nikes. And it occurred to me the other day, because kids, and I'll tell you this, why it came to mind, is because kids were coming in Crocs with, like, the kids that come in, you know, while the older kids, they come in while his team's getting off the court. And they were coming in with Crocs and putting on these elaborate sneakers, because, you know, I buy sneakers occasionally. They were wearing these elaborate sneakers.
How old are they doing that?
Eighth grade. Miles
oh,
is
my.
Grade.
Are you kidding me? They keep their nice shoes in their backpack, walk in with Crocs so they can put those on?
Yes. In fairness, in the winter, you cannot. Gym shoes you probably shouldn't wear outside. My son's actually probably breaking the rules. But, but he, you know, they all come correct. And there's Milo. Doesn't want to get a haircut. He looks like the poor kid. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, Fred. I just wanted to pick your brain on some stuff that you were talking about yesterday.
You got that right, Jake. Okay.
Scott Whelan from Stunt Double Pilots. I love their music, but do you like Tool at all, too? I know you were talking about Maynard James Keenan. And what do you think about adult film star Lisa Ann? I know she's retired, but she was one of my favorites.
Lisa Ann, the longevity of Lisa Ann is very, very commendable, because at one point she was a mere buxom lass. And then the transition into the realm of MILF porn.
What was the tie between the three of those things? That was weird.
I don't know. They're all random questions. But
you were saying that the MILF market is oversaturated.
Yes.
I think that's how that came up.
Well, that's how she got out of it in time.
She's like a fantasy football woman now, too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. She's something making like a lot that. Of money doing
yeah,
that.
I know.
Well, I mean, did Ted Johnson have sex with her? He certainly didn't deny it.
And you know what? Didn't she sleep with the Notre Dame player?
Yes.
Yeah,
and now he's doing whatever.
Yeah.
Which is great. Porn stars, do more of that while the guy you just banged is asleep. Take a picture of the two of you together, because it ensures it's going to happen a bunch more. Bobby, go ahead.
Richard, I've never yelled at you before. I've never wanted to yell at you before, but you're hating on Croft a little too much for me. You've never slipped your feet in those majestic pairs, have you?
You like the Crocs, do you?
I've always hated on them until I got a pair this summer. And I'm still wearing them. I brought out the trash the other night and the snow in them.
Do you buy the gibbets that you put in the holes?
No, I'm not that questionable. Looks like I get carried away now.
If you're going out in the snow, you got to have L.L. Bean moccasins.
No. That's the Maine. That's Maine. We're Mass. We're massholes. That's the
wind. L.L. Bean moccasins. They last forever. They got fur in them.
But you don't bring those outside. Those are inside.
So no, but what are you going to wear?
On the couch, you don't get yelled at.
What, do you have socks on? Like, come on. You got no socks on in the house. You put on L.L. Bean moccasins.
And then they have cigarette
marks in them because you stomp out spokes with them. And you've had them for 20 years, that's what you wear.
Above Crocs, because I've worn the same pair of slides. Like, I have this, like, a pair of, like, black, simple Adidas slides.
Slides are the worst.
That I've worn. No, they're great.
They hurt.
Slides?
Yeah. To see, if you spend any time in Florida, if you live in Florida, if your residency is in Florida for any length of time, you will wear flip-flops. And as much as hipsters hate them, and as much as people say, no, if you've lived in a warm weather, constantly being able to immerse yourself in water community, you are wearing flip-flops. I get made fun of for flip-flops every year, every summer. Jimmy Norton's made fun of me for flip-flops on the air several times. And I'll tell you, I do not apologize. But
I love slides.
They hurt. My foot may be too narrow. They hurt. I don't like them. I have Fred Perry ones because I'm a proud boy. And I put them on. They hurt my foot.
Don't you joke about that, sir.
That's right. The Proud Boys, they can just co-opt anything they want and make it so you don't buy it anymore. That would really be be teaching them a lesson.
All right.
Hey, take some company that's been all about racial equality for its entire existence. Let them co-opt it. Never buy it again. That's right. That's a good move.
All right. Let's go ahead and do it. Insider.com has come up and ranked the top Tom Cruise movies of all time. I don't know anybody who has made such a great career, and it has been a great career, on one note of acting. Like, he's the same guy in every single movie, but God, he's good in most of his stuff. I'll give you the bottom five. It's the top 40. Rock of Ages is the bottom. Then goes Endless Love. I didn't even realize he was in that. Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, Reacher. The Mummy, and then Losing It at number 30.
Losing It. All they wanted to do was lose their virginity.
Right? Hell yeah.
I mean, all he wanted to do was lose it.
Yeah.
I will give you 20 through 10, and then you start yelling. Minority Report at 20. Tropic Thunder at 19. All the Right Moves, 18. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, which should be higher up, at 17. The Firm, Collateral, which was excellent. I'd put that in my top five. That's up there next. Legend. Ooh, yes, that had the devil. Eyes Wide Shut. That was fine. Days of Thunder, excellent movie that comes in at number 11. Mission Impossible, the original, at number 10. Any guesses?
Risky Business is number 5.
Risky Business is not there.
So it's just not in the... Okay, so...
It's not in the top 10.
Well, Top Gun is 1 or 2. Yeah.
Top Gun is not 1 or 2, as it should be. Top Gun is number 7.
How about corny race car movie?
That was already... I already said that. Days of Thunder. It's not corny, so that's why I didn't hear you.
Mission Impossible 3.
Mission Impossible 3 is really good. Far and Away is not there, so I will give you the top 10 because we only have time to do that. Mission Impossible, the original, is number 10. Interview with a Vampire, number 9. Ew. That was okay. Edge of Tomorrow. Thank you. That is a very underrated movie that comes in at number 8. Top Gun at number 7. Rain Man at number 6. Jerry Maguire, number 5.
Ooh.
A Few Good Men, which is legitimately excellent.
That's a very good movie.
Comes in at number 4. Magnolia, way overrated, and I like Paul Thomas Anderson at number 3. Then at number 2, The Color of Money. Wow, how'd that get up there? It's a good movie.
His
number
hair
two,
was perfect.
And number 1, Born on the 4th of July. Oliver Stone film.
I mean, once I watched The Color of Money, I couldn't stop playing pool at all the places where you can play pool.
It's in the way that you use it.
Don't let it go. Oh, the blues has got me right there in my ball sack. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a wonderful day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.